And thank you for letting us be with you. We had a great time at your camp meeting, and you took care of us, and the food was great every single day over there. And thank you for letting us use your missions house, and par excellence. It's nice over there and perfect. It even has little toys for the boys to play with, and F-16s, F-18s, and good, you know, good. But it's a joy to be with you. My name's Danny McKittrick, and my wife, Haruna, and then Titus and Asa. Asa's already asleep back there. Wild afternoon for him. And then Silas, the smallest one, he's in the nursery. And we're missionaries to the United States military stationed in Japan. I laid in bed the first night of basic military training at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas, and I thought, I've really made probably the worst mistake of my life. Anybody in here, service members? Been in, yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I thought, I've messed up. I've done some silly things, but this is probably one of the worst I've done. But the Lord meant it for good, and all things work together for good. My first assignment was Turkey, Incirlik Air Base in Turkey. And I was a broadcast journalist. I don't know if you ever saw anything like that, but if you were ever overseas, AFN. They have all these silly commercials, and that was my job. But my first assignment was Turkey. While I was there, Uncle Sam came and said, now you are going to report to Iceland. And I said, okay. But my good buddy in the military at the time, we were both stationed together, he was from Minnesota, David Larva. And David had orders to go to Japan. And I had orders to go to Iceland. But David thought if he could get to Iceland, he might be able to travel home a little easier. And so he approached me and wanted to know if we could switch orders. And I said, sure, Dave, sounds good to me. And so he ended up going to Iceland, and I went to Japan. And, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but you look back at that and say, man, I didn't know that little decision in a newsroom in Turkey would really change my life. When I got over to Japan, I was saved. But seeking to serve the Lord, and I got over there, and right outside the base, there's a little independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, King James-only, mission-minded Baptist church, and it's right there, and its whole goal, its reason of existence is to reach that base for Christ, and I got plugged into that church, and Pastor Webster was my pastor. And it reminds me, my wife and I were talking, reminded me of Pastor Enos, and we had just a sweet time there, and the Lord worked in my life there. I started out teaching assistant Sunday school, 7-year-old boys class, and then God called me to preach. Ended up was working in the singles ministry, met my wife, and after not too long, I worked myself out of the singles ministry for good. Amen. I'm now no longer in that class, but it was a special time in my life, and I tell you, military missions, that's what we're going to be working on, to reach our military. Special time in their life. These folks, they're younger. A lot of them are younger, 18 to 35 years old, away from home. And you can read books on missions, and they say that when you're planted, when you're taken from your own home and placed in a new place, whether it's for military or whatever it is, that's a really a good time to reach people. Because they're looking to make friends, they're looking to build relationships, looking a lot of times who they really are. And boy, it was good in my life at 24 years old to have a church right there with a pastor to reach me. But that's what we're going to do. Hey, listen, don't forget about our troops. Rough time of the year to be away from family. About 5 years ago, I think it was, I had 7 months left in the Air Force, and I was getting out and going to Bible college. But they came to me around Thanksgiving and said, you're getting deployed. And I said, man. And I had to go to Africa. I think I left on Christmas Eve or the 23rd and left Titus. He was 3 months old and Haruna. And, you know, that wasn't the easiest thing. We were in Charlotte Airport. I was getting ready to fly out and, you know, trying to tell Titus, he was 3 months old. I was, you know, fighting emotion, trying not to cry, you know, because I'm tough. But he sneezed and milk came out of his nose. So that was a good comic relief there. It made everything all right. But remember our troops. It's a difficult time of year, and don't forget about them. Listen, it's challenging to serve in the United States military these days. Lots of temptation. Do you remember when it was like when you got your when you turned 16 and you got your license? There's a sense of freedom that comes with gaining your license. Before that time, you know, mom and dad's always somebody's riding the car with you, telling you to do the speed limit and you know all these kind of things. Well, all of a sudden, when you get that license, kind of a little freedom. Speed limit says 65, but I believe this car will do 80. You know, some freedom. You kind of go and do what you want to. You take that sense, if you can remember, you know, you're there and you can do what you want to. You times that by 1,000, and that's what it seems like to be overseas. Because nobody knows your name over there. There's no family member. There's no pastor. There's no good church. I mean, you can do what you want to do. And sadly, that's a lot of people do, and the devil knows that. It's a very field full of temptation. For example, when I was in Turkey, right outside the base was a place called the Alley. And, you know, that's where you can get all your Turkish rugs and have tea. But, I mean, that's where all the bars are. That's where everything that's ungodly goes on. See, they know that. The devil knows that and sets up these traps for our service members and their families right outside the base. Where we'll be in Yokota, at Yokota Air Base, right outside the base is a place called Bar Row. You know, self-explanatory. But they know that, and many troops get caught up in this kind of stuff. And that's why they need churches. That's why they need pastors. This is also a time of hostility towards our military, especially if you're Christian. I don't know if you followed the news, but there's articles almost daily, regularly, weekly, hostility towards anybody that names the name of Christ in the United States military. It oughtn't to be that way, but it is that way. That's how it is. I read one article about Philip Monk. He's a senior master sergeant in the United States Air Force. That's E8, E9 is high as you go in enlisted side. Impeccable career, 19 years in. You can retire at 20. And just done a great job for our country. Obviously promoted and has no problems in his record. Well, his boss is a homosexual woman. And a new troop came in who was one of their instructors in the chain of command. He disagreed with her. She said, you're going to teach, you know, that you can't teach. He said, I disagree, you know, religiously, I object to homosexuality. The commander told Senior Master Sergeant Monk, she said, you need to go deal with that. Senior Master Sergeant Monk said, I'm not dealing with that, you know, that's okay. I feel the same way. We religiously object to that kind of stuff. Well, long story short, he got arrested, and he's a mild-mannered guy from whatever, you know, an impeccable career. Nevertheless, he's arrested for taking a stand. Most likely will lose his career 19 years down the drain because he takes a stand for what the Bible takes a stand on, what God's Word teaches. And he said that though he'll probably lose his career, he wants his boys to know that his dad stands for truth. Amen. And that's powerful. That's the kind of caliber of people that serve in our Air Force and other branches of service. I read another article recently that the Army was giving a briefing on a slideshow, and they were listing hate groups, and they had the KKK, and they had the Muslim whatever, and then they had the AFA, the American Family Association, as a hate group. Because they would, you know, take a stand and say that marriage is between a man and a woman. But that's the kind of stuff they face today. You say, well, Brother McKittrick, what's the solution? Well, the solution is independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, King James-only Baptist churches planted on near each and every base to reach these people for Christ, amen, to preach the gospel to them, to give them a place to biblically serve the Lord. I'm not against chaplains, but understand, God died for the church. He gave the offices to the church, a pastor and deacon. He set it up, and he wants to work through his local church. And that's what these troops need and their families. And so that's what we're gonna do. And we were in the home of a former colonel, and his wife and my wife were talking, and my wife asked this colonel, she said, what was the toughest part for you? We were just in for 6 years. they did a career, and she said, the toughest thing for me as a wife, as a military spouse, was just being lonely. And, you know, that's the reality, because husband's gone. He's deployed. He's gone 6 months, heavy stress. All of a sudden, the cares of the family, the cares of taking care of the children, paying the bills, all of a sudden it's thrust upon the wife who's trying to do all these kinds of things. By the way, and her husband's down, don't know where. He might be, you know, I might get a phone call talking about his death soon. These people need the Lord. They need a church right outside the base to help them and preach to them and love them and care for them while they're away from their homes. But that's what we were going to do. And unless the Lord changes something, we're heading that way in June, back to Yokota Air Base, the very church that I met my wife and served in myself. They're without a pastor. And unless the Lord changes something, I'll go there and pastor that church and work with the troops there, try to lead them to Christ. And by the way, we're there in Tokyo. It's going to be in Tokyo, 34 million people, I believe, or 35 million people. And we try to reach them as well. You know, God loves them. He's no respecter of persons. He loves the Japanese people as well. And so we try to reach out to the Japanese people. One of our long-term goals, I would love to see our military church help plant local independent Japanese churches in and around Tokyo area. Because they're welcome to come to our church. Like, that's how I met my wife. She came to Yokota Baptist Church. I'd love to win some Japanese men to Christ, disciple them in the church, and then help them as they, and then send them out, you know, and help them plant churches in and around Tokyo area. Now, that people is a lost people. They don't know the Lord, and there's millions of them. And they don't know the Lord. They don't have a clear presentation. Never heard a clear presentation of the saving truth of God's gospel. And so that's one of the things we want to do. Pray for my wife's dad, Nozomu, pray that he'd be saved. And then one of her college friends, he owns an eyeglass shop. His name is Takimatsu. And we'd love to see Takimatsu get saved and disciple him and help him start an independent fundamental Baptist church right there in the Tokyo area. Another guy, I'm just thinking of him, his name is Mr. Yamaguchi. Mr. Yamaguchi is a Buddhist monk. But Mr. Yamaguchi thinks Buddhism is total nonsense. It's kind of like a family business. His dad has owned the temple. It's going to be passed down to him. But he studied it, and he's, you know, researched the Om Ni Yo Ho Yi Yo Ding. He knows all that, and he says, yes, there's nothing to this. And we think Mr. Yamaguchi is a great candidate to hear the truth of God's word and help him get saved, and then help him get discipled and help him plant a church there. Turn that Buddhist temple into a Baptist church. Amen. One of these days. I'll report back to you when that happens, and, you know, God will get the glory for that. But that's just down the road. But again, thank you for letting us come this evening. I've got some tables set up outside there with bookmarks and little prayer cards. You take as many as you want and pray for us. And again, Pastor, thank you for letting us come. Watch a 6-minute DVD. And then I'll bring a little message.
For so long I drifted aimlessly upon the sea of life, a vessel tossing to and fro in a storm of sin and strife, till a hand of grace reached down to me and safely led the way. And when I think of where He brought me from, my grateful heart can say, where would I be? He not reached for me and saved me just in time. When it seemed as though all hope was gone, He slipped His hand in mine. From a rugged cross I heard His sweet voice calling out my name. And since the moment Jesus rescued me, I've never been
The fighting ended between the U.S. and Japan in 1945, and today the countries share a strong military alliance. Though the war is over, the battle for the souls of U.S. service members still rages in Japan.
My name is Danny McKittrick, and I'm a born-again believer in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In June of 2012, I received a missionary prayer letter from a missionary to the military expressing the need for folks to surrender to the military field. My heart was stirred, as was Haruna's, and in December of 2012, we were accepted and approved by Baptist International Missions Incorporated to be missionaries to the military. We are very excited to get to the work.
Presently, there are over 35,000 military members serving in Japan. And whether it's refueling an F-15 Strike Eagle or assisting in disaster relief missions, the military is hard at work. Yet as the saying goes, work hard, play hard, many of these folks are in spiritual darkness. Many have never even heard the glorious gospel. Who will reach them?
There is a great need for military works. I had the privilege in my years of pastoring to go to Europe probably 10 or 12 times minimum and preach in military works there. And I saw it was one of the most fruitful fields for people to come to know the Lord. I saw many people saved and people called to preach in those churches. I think the military works are some of the most fertile fields in all of the world.
Not only does a military church preach and teach and baptize and serve the base residents, but it also reaches out to the local Japanese community. There are over 127 million Japanese people living in a land the size of California, and by all statistics, they are lost. Lost in idolatry, lost in sin, lost and in need of the only one who came to seek and to save that which was lost.
My name is Haruna McKittrick. I was born and raised in Tokyo as non-practicing Buddhist. Later in my life, I lived in England, and there I attended church and received Jesus Christ as my Savior. When I moved back to Tokyo, I was excited to find Yokota Baptist Church, a military church with a strong love for local Japanese people.
I met Haruna at Yokota Baptist Church as we were serving the Lord together. We were later married, and today we're just an everyday family with values and challenges just like you. We believe God has made our family what it is and has specifically equipped us to minister to the military. Imagine stepping off a plane in a foreign country not knowing a soul. Imagine being in a mentally and physically stressful work environment with constant deadlines and attention to detail. Imagine the looming possibility that you, at any moment, could receive notice that you are heading downrange to a combat zone to possibly give your life for your country. Imagine the draw of a bar row or the red light district calling out to you in your lonely state, as the devil invites you to indulge in sin to fix your problems. Now, what if that person is your son, or daughter, or your husband? These people need Christ. They need a church family to wrap their arms around them and care for them. Please keep United States military members and their families in your prayers, and pray that God will use our family to be a strong witness for Christ among the soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines.
If I praise Him for a million years and for eternity, I could never thank Him quite enough for all He's done for me. Where would I be had He not reached for me and saved me just in time? When it seemed as though all hope was gone, He slipped His hand in mine. From a rugged cross I heard His sweet voice calling out my name. And since the moment Jesus rescued me,
I enjoyed my time in service, and I love serving this country, and we've got to reach those that serve.